Welcome to the latest digital rodeo, where the ins and outs of online advertising get more airtime than a viral TikTok dance. Today, we're crashing the server with Sean Black of Daily Motion. Yep, the rock star of digital marketing himself. Ditch the corporate speak at the door because we're here to spill the real tea on surviving the digital jungle and scheming for world domination, or maybe just a clean inbox. So crank up your volume, ignore those Slack pings, and let's decode the digital chaos with the coolest cat in the ad, Biz. Ready? Let's roll.
Deserve to win when it matters most. Facing multi-billion dollar bet the company litigation? No problem. That's why we're here. Trautman Amin, LLP, is a true legal powerhouse.
What's up, all you cool cats and kittens out there in Adland? This is your host with the most Pesach Latin. And guess what? We've got a rock star in the house today. That's right. Straight from the digital marketing stratosphere, we've got the one, the only, the legend himself, Sean Black, right here in our studio. Well, not really in our studio, but close enough. Sean, let's start with the basics. How are you doing? And no corporate speak allowed.
You know what? Hanging in. A lot of great stuff happening in the marketplace. I think we're at a lot of pivotal change, like as always. But you know what? Look, we always go by the theme of you got to love who you're doing. So I love what I'm doing. Day by day.
So what goals are you chasing these days? World domination or something more modest like Inbox Zero? No pressure, but I'm personally rooting for the former.
Look, you know what? World domination will always be nice, but I think today it's just about checking the box, being happy. I think the most important thing for us right now is just loving what we're doing, being happy doing it, and feel like we're learning every day. You know, this is a great dynamic marketplace that you and I live in, and I think being able to constantly learn and change and evolve every day and we're not young kids anymore, so that's a good thing.
No. You've been at this longer than most people have known what a pixel is. You've gone from banner ads to big data, seeing the birth explosion of social media, and now you're at Daily Motion. Sean, you watched digital marketing evolve from the primordial soup to the AI's infused juggernaut is today. When did you first realize you were no longer playing in the kiddie pool?
You know what? I think when I started to have to take on more of the ownership of the team.
Right?
When you have that responsibility of not just working from within the group, but actually mentoring people and making sure that they feel like they're growing and they're learning. I think the thing that you and I probably can agree on is as the marketplace has changed and, you know, old guys like us keep evolving and moving on, you know, the young kids are coming in and the context of our history is almost lost a little bit, right? There was a lot of the services and the travel and all the fun things and we were creating every day. We were inventing something. So I think that's where that responsibility started changing is how you start passing the, I guess, that proverbial, you know, wand down and or, you know, the flame and making sure that everyone keeps to understand where we all came from. And I think that's where that pivotal change came for me is it really about the mentorship for the teams at this point.
Was there an exact moment when digital advertising went from being a gamble to the main event? Was it like discovering fire or more like learning to use a remote to change your channels?
You know, it's funny. I think we could all think that it was like the leading thing, you know, 20 years ago. And I think what everyone started to realize was that it wasn't the long item on the plan anymore, as we used to say, right? It became the integrated part of everything that we're building. And I think that pivotal change happened, God, you know, what, 15 years ago at this point. You know, I think the difference now is just how we continue to see different teams and different people trying to lean in and learn what we've gone through all these years. And, you know, video especially is taking that pivotal change significantly. But, you know, the digital world or what we consider, you know, online advertising is definitely not considered, in my mind, at least just another line item. It's now part of everything that we think about holistic.
How do you think the goalposts have moved and change of what consumers want from their ads? Are they smarter or just getting better at ignoring us?
You know what? I think they're both, right? I think that technology is allowing them to make it easier to ignore us or even to block us altogether. I think that people are expecting things a little bit more personalized. You know, a lot of like what we're dealing with Daily Motion is that idea of personalization and the way that we're translating and especially not just the creator, but how you're talking to these people. I think right. that what's made it even more challenging is nothing new today, but happened years ago where people started to choose how and when and where they want to engage with us. And that's really the largest dynamic that I think is continually happening is technology has made it very difficult for this person to pin down. And especially, you know, when you talk about Google and, you know, yeah, the woman's fed up the, you know, cookies and deprivation there, but still, you know, it's really about moments that matter and how do you find those people at those moments.
I think it's important. You've been constructing things that last in digital marketing. How have you managed to survive but not just conquer? Was it a sword and a shield or uncanny ability to dance on shifting sands?
You know what? I think it's the shifting sands by all stretches.
Yeah, not the other one.
You know what? I think, look, I come from a very unique, rare view, right? I sat on the agency side for 20 plus years. I've been on now the publisher side for, you know, 6-7 years or so. And I think having that view, you know, working with clients and working directly with those brands, it takes a toll. You know, it's the relationships that you have with those agencies and the brands that you're supporting. And then you come onto the side of the business and, you know, you've got a little bit more ref. I think that the people who can ebb and flow and stay up to date on some things that are going on. And, you know, I think it's really important, though, and this is a I think, belief that you have as well, is that we don't do things for the sake of, you know, what was in the front page of the New York Times at the day.
Right.
It's about what makes it right and what we need to do for our brands or what we're trying to achieve for our clients. And, you know, I think the dancing part of it, but I also think a lot of people fell out of the marketplace because they just fell out of love. I mean, honestly, you gotta love this. And for me, I don't know how to be a plumber. I don't know how to be an electrician. I don't know how to be anything else other than this at the end of the day. And I honestly, genuinely love what we're doing here.
Yeah, so what would you do in the zombie apocalypse then?
Boy, you know what? Try to figure out how to advertise to them, I guess.
You could sell
them something, I guess. I've heard of Maybe I can figure out a billboard to get on someone's back. Who knows?
So what's your secret recipe for putting together a team of digital marketing Avengers? Do you look for Hawkeyes, Hulks, or just someone who won't steal lunch from the refrigerator?
You know, I think it's a little bit of a combination of everything nowadays. I think it's the young kids who want to learn, who are excited about it. But I also go back to when I was trained, you know, back in 98, was about this idea of having this henchman mentality. Surrounding
yourself. And that's that gray, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, when I was there with, you know, Steve Carbone and you know, the history-making stuff back then. And you know, the idea of surrounding yourself in great people is really right. cool to this day. It's but what you surround yourself with makes a big difference. You know, you want people who are excited about what we're doing. You want to have people who also are constantly wanting to learn. And then you got to have that thought leadership as well. Let's kind of keep pushing the teams forward. And I think that combination still rings true today.
How did you install a cultural innovation without creating a bunch of mad scientists?
You know, I think culture is a sort of throwout word everywhere now. You know, it's all I got this great culture in my company. I got this great culture of people. I think, you know, and people talking about family and everything else, you know, we don't work with family at the end of the day.
Right.
I think the idea is to cultivate a relationship with your teams that, one, you're always listening. I think the issue that came up with a lot of people who either became managers who never managed before, never right. did the work before, so they set bad expectations. They're not, you know, one of the themes I always go by is managing from within and not from above, right? So I think that part of that helps how you really work with individuals and help them feel like, look, at the end of the day, and I say this all the time with my team, whether you're going to stay with me or not, whether you're going to be here for 6 months or leave in a year or whatever, that's your choice. And I'm proud of you continually to grow and find opportunities. But if I'm not doing right by you in the place that you are now, then I'm down on this boat, right? It's about how do I help you grow, make you smarter, and hopefully make that so you are with me forever. But we know that. Things change.
But they say to lead, you should lead by example. What does that mean in digital marketing? Does it mean that you're the first to jump off a cliff?
No, you know what? I think lead by example in this industry is tended to be more about it's okay to break something.
Right.
Right. I don't think anyone necessarily is leading. I think there's just a lot of machinations of everything that we're all trying to do. I mean, look, again, you and I have been around so long. It's a cyclical stuff, right? It went from...
Thank you for reminding me. Well, twice. You're so old now. you are too now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've got the grays, right? You're catching up.
Right.
But the, look,
I still got my hair, though. You never had your hair.
No. I changed the day my twins were born. Decided to shave the head and say, I'm not doing my hair anymore. Yeah, but look, I don't think anyone continues to really invent anything new nowadays, and that's the biggest challenge I have. When we came up in the industry, we were creating something new that no one's done every single day. Animating the header on the USA Today logo, you know, like being able to do things like that, running, you know, really crazy types of creative, and then we went into this data conversation, and, you know, we were doing contextual targeting before contextual targeting was a thing, and now all of a sudden everyone's trying to figure out how to do it.
Everyone's back to, well, we were doing site-specific sales because that's what sold. If you were on a gaming site, you wanted to buy games.
I think the truth behind it is understanding endemic and non-endemic, and I think that always impacts everything that we do.
So do you consider yourself the pioneer with arrows in your back, and what are those arrows? Are you just a guy with a good map?
I think I definitely have some arrows going through the industry. I don't know if I necessarily have the right map or I've been lucky in certain circumstances. I'm not even quite sure I'm necessarily that lucky. I think I've been able to, I've had my downturns, I've had my upturns, I've had, you know, opportunities where I've owned my own agency for 6 years and feel like I stepped out of Manhattan and lost everything I had for 6 years because I wasn't in the mix anymore. To come back to the industry, I think, again, it goes back to if anyone is trying to be successful nowadays and even, you know, young people who may be watching this, again, it goes back to the passion and excitement of what we do every day. You know, it's you got to put in your time. You got to sleep on your desks. Unfortunately, we don't do that as much as we used to.
Is there like a secret black magic, for lack of a better term, or is it just endless sleepless night?
I think it's you got to get your ass kicked a little bit. You know,
I
grew up in high school a little, you know, until you get a good ass kicking, you know, you walk around with this chip on your shoulder. And I think going through that trial and tribulation of working with difficult clients and difficult brands and working those hours and, you know, being pulled and feeling like you're working 24 hours a day and then finding opportunities where you're not doing that. But I think that it's wild for solo to not have that opportunity in this type of industry. I mean, it's part of growing up and understanding, you know, look, again, I know I keep saying this and we're laughing about being the age, but it's difficult to draw a reference in this industry nowadays.
Everything changes so fast. People, I mean, I posted like a job post the other day. It was like extensive experience should be under 25 or something. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Well, that's what I find so interesting is that you sit with the new kids coming into the industry who have no context. Like, you don't remember when the industry was this or why we did the things that we're doing. You know, sure, they could go and go onto the Wayback Machine and find all these cool domains that we used to have back in the day. But, you know, I think the idea of being able to draw off stuff that we've done and past experiences just continues to allow us to expand what we're doing. When you don't have that reference, and especially nowadays, how far back of a reference do you have? When we started talking about data again?
If you could talk to these young guys and tell them about what the biggest misconception of the industry is, what would that be?
Well,
is it just like Mad Men minus the suits, the smoking and drinking?
A little bit, but I also think that they don't understand how long the industry has been up and running. I don't think that a lot of the younger kids really understand that the things that they're seeing now, you know, teach, right? You know, you say to Heather ads on Google, you know, on Yahoo, and they didn't ever see any of this stuff. So I think that it's important. It's like not read as much as you can because you're only reading about what's going on today. trying to have dialogue with people around you that are those leaders and ask those questions about, can you just tell me where these things really came about? Something I find so interesting in the marketplace now is this idea of, you know, you've got Omni and Marketplace Intelligence Engine and all these companies trying to create these data-centric models and, you know, data, you know, the whole idea of using data to reach people and everything else. You know, we didn't have all that.
Right.
And we were really successful in what we're doing. I think it was more of an answer of how you help monetize an agency at this point.
Well, yes, truly. What different, what you can charge your client more? Yeah. Is that what it all is about now? How you can add another 15%?
Well, look, I mean, you and I definitely know that the marketplace from an agency perspective is difficult to make money. Right? We know that. Big agencies are taking on major grants, not for the sake of necessarily making money on an FTE and the staffing, but it's being able to sit at the table with a Fox and a CBS and an NBC and say, hey, look, I got $20 billion worth of advertising dollars to leverage. You know, it's I think they have to find every way possible to create these villages again or these products to productize to bring to their clients to make money in places.
Are we too dependent on the technology, you think, now?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Since everyone wants to have the newest, coolest thing, we're all inventing technology to solve problems that we don't have?
I don't know if it's a solid problem we don't have. I think we're constantly creating the problems of things that are that difficult.
With more technology.
Yeah, I mean...
it's true. We how many products are out there that are to fix another SaaS product? What do we call it? What do we say now? SaaS or SaaS?
Yeah, SaaS. Yep.
Software. Okay. Is another product.
Yeah, I think it's more so the stack, right? It goes back to agencies and publishers have the same issue. What is the stack that you're building? How do you become interoperable now from a publisher perspective? How do you become more interoperable with an agency to start bringing that revenue and that relationship? And how does an agency become more interoperable with their clients? And what are they trying to create in one of those stacks? Because look, as we continue to see more and more big brands and agencies in-house, they have to figure out ways to continue to provide value in that relationship. And I know this isn't necessarily directionally what we're started to talk, but I think that's dynamically what's continually happening in the marketplace.
Yeah, if using your crystal ball a little bit more, what do you see? Are we ready for a utopia, dystopia, or just more TikTok dances?
Yeah, and I think there's still a couple more years of the TikTok dance. I think that brands right now and agencies have to figure out better ways to work together. I think we're going to find that we're going to start flattening organizations again. I think a couple of years back, it was this idea of, first it was consolidation. Then it was breaking you all apart and having Rand have 16 different agencies because there was all these new technologies. Now all of a sudden it's agency with the trying to figure out a way to flatten everything so it just becomes one service layer, right? And everything that you need sits under this organization. I think we're gonna see that stay still for a while until AI is definitely in the conversation. There's no question about it. I don't think it's a matter of understanding when AI is going to be part of the conversation. It's more so learning what you actually need to do with it. That's it.
Is that the next big thing?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the next big thing into really trying to create more dynamic solutions, both, it goes back to your point earlier. As consumers are starting to get more savvy, how do you make things that are smarter and more translatable to them or more personal? And I think AI is going to help in that, both from a data understanding, right, and being able to pull data in faster and understand that part of it to an ROI, but also, I think, creatively. How do we continue to think about the ways that we have to engage with these consumers? And I think that's something that I feel bad because I almost feel like that's something we significantly lost in the marketplace over the past couple of years. There's no real inventing anymore. There's no ad model anymore.
Besides AI, what do you think an emerging technology will make the biggest splash in marketing? Is it AR, VR, or just regular R&R?
Yeah, I like the idea of the VR stuff specifically around retail engagement.
Right.
I think that there's definitely something there. I think that Unfortunately, I feel like we keep taking two steps forward and five back. You know, you've got Apple coming out and the whole idea of their new visual, and then all of a sudden you find out all these issues with it. Well, with everything that's beta, right? And anything that's new coming to the marketplace. I think just overall from a VR perspective, I think that as consumers continually want to be in that shopping mindset but have more engagement like reality, I think the VR is going to help create those connections. But I also think that it's going to create a different experience in retail, which is where I think a lot of people feel like we've almost moved away from. Where it was like this idea of, virtual reality and digital is going to take people away from going shopping. I think that people going into shopping stores, I think just the engagement is going to change a lot.
So Daily Motion's essentially a content channel, correct? A content platform.
The positioning at the end of the day is, crowd saver number two.
How do you steer it through the digital tempest without hitting the rocks? Is it a compass or a map, or do you have a digital Davy Jones locked up somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's almost like day to day. I don't think anyone has any, silver bullet. I think the idea is to continually find ways to create a better experience. Period. That's it. We are held to creating experiences for our consumers. And, one of the things that Daily Motion did and made a very significant decision years ago was we took user-generated content off Daily Motion. And that was a big, bold statement. And the reason why is because at the end of the day, we felt that we wanted to have a better experience with these consumers. And we are a video player. So because of that, there's a lot more insights there. So, I think that we just continue to find ways to evolve that product. And we're owned by Vivendi. We're part of a very large family. Canal Plus is like Netflix in Europe. Daily Motion in...
Canal Plus films on or clips, or how does that work?
So we're looking to figure out ways to bring those content channels a lot closer. But again, from a Europe perspective, Daily Motion, is the YouTube out there. I think that from a U.S. perspective, we're making a lot of progress to really pivot the brand.
So how do you decide what content makes the cut?
On the site itself, we don't. What's great about it is outside of removing user-generated content, everything that we really gain is through our commercial relationships. Our channels, all of everything that is really being brought on the Daily Motion is through the player relationship with those publishers. So unless we really forge those relationships, the clients and the publishers are syndicating their content to us because it's another environment that honestly, we only have roughly a 60% overlap with YouTube. So you're getting an additional reach for that content. And that's what a lot of the publishers are starting to realize now.
How do you see Daily Motion evolving to stay ahead of the content beast?
I think it's really falling into the content beast. I think the idea of it is to utilize that content and creating a better experience, knowing who those consumers are. The key point here is that we're not held to cookies. We're not held to the things that everyone's worrying about in the industry because we understand what people are watching. We know why they're watching it. I would almost say that we're almost 100% driven in terms of the way the audience is coming and engaging with Daily Motion now. So for us, how do we embrace the content in a way that allows us to deliver a better user experience with a brand associated to it?
Looking back on your career, that's more a marathon than a sprint. What do you hope your legacy can be in the digital marketing world? We're talking statues, some LinkedIn profile. What do you want?
Oh, boy. You know what? It's funny. I almost look back here and I have the patron saint of the internet sitting upright.
I was looking at you. I think you have an amp back there. Is it ukulele?
Yeah, it's all the toys and everything that, I used to collect all the crap that you and I used to get from everyone at the end of the day. Right. I wish, God forbid I was gone tomorrow, I wish people would just at least put me in the same area as all the other, guys who started in this career and just made an impact and made change. That's it.
What would your tombstone say? He changed the game or he never had to reset his password?
Bury me upside down? I don't want. I would actually love it to say that he was a great dad. And right. Oh, wow. You know, my priorities at the end of the day, really, honestly, I do this because of my kids. I want them. I got one child, two kids, actually, who are following suit with the things that I'm doing. And I think it's great for them to jump into this industry. I'm just trying to give them all the background that they need to understand what we've done. But, you know, and maybe looking at some old magazines where you know, I was an immediate post all-star and all that stuff. I mean, it's funny. It's long-term stuff. But I, you know, I would be more than happy for someone just to say that I was a great dad and,
yeah,
love what I was doing with my kids.
Who in the industry would write your autobiography besides me?
Yeah, jeez. I don't know if we've had anyone around long enough. But you want to know something? One person who's very dear to me, this guy, Jamie Levitt. Right. Jamie and I have known each other. Jamie was at 20 years ago at Discovery.
Oh, wow.
Big TV guy, moved on, started his own consultancy now, Orama Partners. I've known this guy since we were kids. And I think him being able to really talk about what we've gone through together, both ups and downs and seeing each other's careers, it would be someone who could probably tell a good story.
If you could swap careers with any advertising legend for a day, who would it be? Lee Cloud, to know what it's like to brainstorm in a beard that has seen more creativity than my entire career?
Yeah, you know, I always wanted to be on the client side. So right. For me, you know, what I was trying to do early in my career was I figured if I got into the agency side long enough, that I'd be smart enough to be sitting across the table from guys like me and saying, well, we're calling the bullshit. Never had that. That's, you think of the Mark Pritchards and you think of, you know, the guys who are commanding the space who can just, you know, decide to make a change and everyone starts pivoting that way. I mean, it'd be nice to be a part of that conversation, but, you know, I think it's more of the creative side. It's the ones who are inventing the new things every day. So when you think about guys working at Red Bull or, you know, companies that continually are finding ways to do things different, to me, that I would be neat, you know, really exciting.
So I know you like mentoring. What is one lesson you would hammer?
Oh, I think it goes back to what I said earlier is love this. If you really don't love this, if you really don't like this, if you really think it's just a thing, get out. Because the what makes us good at
Have you seen a lot of people burn out who just hate it? 100%. And that's why?
100%. And I think a lot of
they're miserable day to day. I know people like that who are just miserable in what they're doing.
They hate it, or they hate the clients, or they're tired of getting beat up. You and I could probably spend an hour just talking about, you know, the new case coming into the marketplace and everything else. I mean, like I said, I remember building presentations that were printed and then put on acetates to then put on top of a projector that you were, you know, page by page laying on the screen. You know, you were sitting around working all night trying to get that stuff done. I think that culture sort of went away a little bit. And while that, yes, technology has been wonderful and it makes it a lot easier. We have PowerPoint and we can just, you know, project onto a screen at the end of the day. I try to install in anyone who works with me is that get into the mindset of, do you really love this? And I think if you really do love it, your creativity can shine, your passion can shine, your ability to get in front of a room of people, whether it's one person or three, it comes out when you really find that you love what we're doing.
So what would you tell someone who wants to make their mark in the advertising world they should do? Pack a lunch, brace yourself, or it's a wild ride?
I think it's a wild ride. I think one thing I'd encourage anyone is try everything. Right. We have so many areas of our business from social to, you know, guys who are hands on keyboards to creative to account management, new business. I mean, there are so many areas for you to really dig in and get a good sense of what you like and what you don't like and try it. I think that's the best advice as far as, you know, being successful. Look, anyone could spend 10 years and say, I want to be, you know, that sort of corporate guy. And being, I don't think any one of us, you know, can say that they were in a company for 20 years anymore. I mean, that's
oh, no, nobody does that.
No.
Everyone's looking for a new place after 2-3 years.
Yeah. And look, I don't think it's a bad
and
thing.
And it used to not be acceptable. Now it seems to be normal.
Yeah, I think it's coming back a little bit. I think you want to see some stability, but you also have to recognize where people are moving and the opportunities. I think a lot of it comes down to pay. I think people believe that they're better off just moving after 2 years to make their 15% bump than actually putting the time in an agency or a publisher. But I think that what's been really important for us, and we're doing it a lot more, is actually not so much hiring from without of the company, but within. We're promoting people. We're cultivating people into roles that we believe that they would be successful in, and giving them those opportunities. And I think that was lacking a lot in the industry. People were just hired.
Right. Speaking of mentoring, was there a Yoda in your life, or was it more like a trial by fire?
No, there was a Yoda in my life. It was actually two very significant ones. It was a gentleman when I first started in the industry at Master Vitaire, Berger, McAree, Schmetterer. I mean, God, talk about a long time without. Who really taught me how to be an account person, who really taught me how to, you know, cry in my desk overnight because we had a pitch at 6 o'clock in the morning and I had to be there. It was Skip Painter, and he was just absolutely amazing. Not in the industry anymore, but he was amazing. And the other person is Steve Carbone. Steve hired me in 1998 to build, you know, Bray and the digital stuff that we're doing. And I just saw Steve this past week, who's now the president over at Orion. And this is a guy who I will say every time I see him, I've brought him up in every interview I've ever had. His ability to convince me and make me understand what it's like to really pitch and be a part of a team in that way, and again, surround yourself with great people, has instilled a lot in me over the years.
When you look back, what's the biggest mountain you've had to climb, metaphorically or literally? And if it was literal, was there Wi-Fi?
I think in the bad places I've been in this career, there wasn't Wi-Fi or anything other than probably potentially throwing myself off of a cliff.
Right.
I think that my hardest challenges that I've gone through is how to deal with very strong, difficult clients or brands. And putting your attitude aside, and at the end of the day, your job is to manage these relationships. And I'm not talking about from a junior level. I'm talking about leading teams. You know, I've worked with incredible brands like Warner Brothers and Hasbro, and very challenging brands, you know, that were in the QSR industry. You know, so it's, you learn. And I think each one of those has taught me a lot.
So speaking of clients, what's the most bizarre client feedback you ever got? And something like, make it pop, but not too much. Kind of like quiet fireworks. That's what I like to use.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I've had feedback in a way where, you know, teaching, and this is when I was on the agency side, teaching publishers to not come in and sort of, here's all the things that we have available for you to work with us on. And I've had heads of clients saying, get them out of here, you know, immediately, because unless they're coming in to tell me how to work with them, you know, this isn't about you giving me a list of stuff and I'm choosing what makes the most sense. It's, you should know about my business well enough that you tell me how to work with you. And I think, you know, that's something that I have drilled into my head quite a bit, to be honest.
If you could erase one buzzword from the advertising industry forever, would it be synergy, leverage, disruptive, or innovative?
I mean, look, they all come. I was going to go to putting a pin in it, or let's take that offline.
Right.
I think they all have their place right now. I think innovative is probably overused a lot.
Right.
Synergy in terms of where everyone's trying to be and feel like they're following the same step. It goes in the same vein as like everyone in their own swim lane, right? Like that's right. all the buzzy stuff. Look, I think we're going to continue to use them in their way. I mean, I wouldn't even know how else to say how to innovate a piece of creative without saying innovation, right?
So if you had a superpower to enhance one of your aspects of your digital marketing skills, which one would it be? Teleportation, time travel, mind control, visibility, or super strength for all that heavy lifting of brand reputations?
You know what? I'd love to go ahead. I'd love to see where, if hopefully...
Time travel, future time travel, not in the past.
I mean, I'd love to know that in the next 5 to so many years, I'm doing this call from a boat or an island somewhere, not from a room that I'm sitting in right now. But you know what? That's that. I mean, I've learned a lot of lessons, and you know, you make your mistakes here and there. I don't know if I regret any one of them, because guess, you know, it is where I am today, and I'm sitting in front of you. You know, so, but I would definitely love to understand more of the future or what's here.
Yeah, if you go back in time and give yourself your younger self one piece of advice of advertising, let's start that question again. Sorry. If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advertising advice, what would that be?
I'll do two, actually. Patience, without a question. Slow down.
Why slow down? I guess, related, but why slow down?
Well, because I think that quick reaction to a lot of things, you know, there's a time where you start learning to just take a moment of reflection and think about it before you start responding so quickly. I think that, you know, having that context and thinking about the challenge before just going off and firing emails and responding to things, that's something I have definitely learned over the years. And then the other one is take some of the chances that you're worried to take. You know, I think I've been around in the industry in a way where you've seen a lot of wealth and a lot of, you know, a lot of big things happening. And I wish that there were opportunities where I wasn't so worried about feeding my kids that moment, but maybe a little bit more trust and faith in something that was going to turn into something pretty big for the future.
Is there any ad campaign you'd like to have been your brainchild? And you can't say got, and you can't, you're not allowed to say got milk. I also dream of dairy fame all the time.
I have one that will crack you up that I talk about. It's just me forever.
It's Old Spice. I know. It's Old Spice because you want to be on the horse.
It was actually a Starbucks one. And it was, a guerrilla campaign that was done in New York. I was really young in the industry. And I'll tell you a very funny story behind it.
I don't remember this.
And just sitting standing waiting for the light to change. And a car comes driving up right in front of me.
Right.
And I has a Starbucks cup on his roof. And I knock on his window and I go, "Hey, you've got your coffee is on your roof." And he goes,
"Yeah, I'm going to look this up. I bet you I can find a picture of that for the video."
"What kind of coffee?" And like a trained animal, I said, "Oh, Starbucks." And he hands me a Starbucks gift card and rides off.
Well, that's awesome.
It was like
brand recollection right then.
Oh, totally. It wasn't even the fact that he asked me or got out of his car to go and get the coffee. It was more like, what coffee is it? Because I saw the cup and recognized it was Starbucks.
And since then, the Starbucks coffee cup is, you know, it is one of the most 100% memorable by itself. That, Coca-Cola, there's very few of them, but Starbucks, everyone knows the Starbucks.
Yep.
And it, with or without the logo.
It shocked the hell out of me, and the guy literally hands me a gift card. It might have been for $5. And then drove off, and it forever sits in my head as something that I thought was just really, really funny and smart.
So besides fetching coffee, what is a part of your job you'd like to automate?
The data, that part of the business, I think I love to see more automation and how I can pull insights and all the sort of things that are going on with campaigns and being able to, and I think that goes back to our idea of AI. How do I make that part of the business smarter and more intelligent for the things that we're doing to make it more rapid for clients to understand?
Are you betting the future is AI?
I'm betting that we're going to continue to find ways to enable that as a part of our data offerings because we're so embedded with that now from our insights perspective in terms of drawing those insights in. Now it's how we make those things a little bit more automated in terms of delivery, right? There's still the burden of teams sitting there and drawing that information in and formatting it and finding the real insight that matters.
Who would you like to be stuck in the elevator with? And what would you ask him? So, for example, Seth Godin, purple cow in the elevator. Thoughts?
Who would I like to be stuck in the elevator with?
Philip Kotler, can you explain the entire marketing mix before we're rescued?
Yeah. You know what? I don't even think anyone in the industry. I'm thinking more of you know, people who made impact and living the world a little bit more. Maybe
so Angelina Jolie, that's what you're thinking.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Okay. We're wreck it to understand his skin regime a little bit more.
What is it? The jokes always sting, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was this old Saturday Night Live skit.
Well, it's almost like drinking the blood of Sting to stay alive forever.
I went to more important parts of my life. I don't know why, but I went to the Police concert in Madison Square Garden when they the first concert, and I sat next to his wife, Trudy, and I was right in front of, what's his name? He used to do Punk'd, and as time his girlfriend. and Demi Moore at the time. And down the aisle comes Bruce Willis.
Ashton Kutcher.
And Bruce Willis came, and he had a concert in Times Square, and he sat down next to me and talked for a while. It was like a surreal thing. I'm sitting next to Sting's wife and Bruce Willis, and we're talking about music.
It's not much that, not many times you get that opportunity, but it starts to humanize it a little bit more, doesn't it?
His biographer was there. She was like 80 years old at the time. She was just like telling these random stories, and then his son was on stage. He was like the first act. It was crazy. But yeah, Sting, I think, is a lot of people's elevator. You'd be stuck with elevator. What's one project you worked on that felt more like a passion than a job?
Only Fly Space. Do a lot of different projects in LA. And you know what? I'm not only a lot of the industry with my kids. There was my twins. There was a project, you know, at the end of the day. From an industry perspective, a big project that
was it still like the first one, like still gray? Is that something you just still think about all the time?
The gray stuff was awesome. I mean, look, the best thing I ever did in my life.
And then you guys got bought by Beyond, if I remember.
Well, yeah, so we merged together. So myself, Nick Mahoney, and a lot of the team, but I'm proud of the work that I did with Don Buckley at Warner Brothers. Don was way ahead of his time in understanding what was going on and what we should be doing in the industry and building the projects that I did with him, both the creative that we were putting into marketplace and the campaigns that we were running for Harry Potter and Matrix. And I mean, Jesus, it was like every time we were putting out a movie, that's the stuff we're missing, right? Like every time we were putting out a movie, it was like Perfect Storm. I filled an entire website, flooded the front page of a website.
What's happened to these like takeovers or microsites? I don't see this anymore.
They pissed everyone off. they pissed everyone off. They're too expensive.
But it worked.
It worked, man, because people didn't know what to expect, right? At the end of the day, those types of environments and those ads were us trying to break the clutter of all the crap. Now, you got the blockers and you got all of this technology. And remember, back then, you and I weren't on this.
Right.
We weren't walking around with our mobile phones. And, you know, so now consideration of how it was translating to mobile. How do you create those environments? I mean, like I said earlier, remember when we used to do a deal with USA Today and they would allow you to manipulate a logo for the afternoon, right? And it would turn into something. All that stuff's gone nowadays. And that's the context that I wish kids really saw. Well, we were inventing stuff.
What's a dead advertising medium you bring back then?
I mean, it's funny. It wasn't so much a medium, but do you remember, there was a company called AdTools that was used to be able to
download. Sounds very familiar.
So they used to be able to download these characters to your desktop, and they'd walk around on the screen. I did one as they were interactive. You know, now it's like apps on your computer. But it's funny. Right. It's like they're so ahead of their time, and now they'd probably be more use for them. In an AI world, you know, virtual boxes, things like that on your machine. But, you know, I don't know. I think that we're still in this, you know, you still have your out-of-home, and you still have your digital, and you still have, you know, I think all of it plays its place and stuff.
I promise not to talk about politics, but I'm going to do it anyways. So what advertising mascot would you elect as president? Would it be the most interesting man in the world, Tony the Tiger, the Geico Gecko, or Flo from Progressive? For a policy of transparency and bundles.
You know what? I don't follow. I think her truth, the way that she presents herself, would be a really interesting. Not that I couldn't make any comparison with the Geico, you know, and with anyone else in the marketplace right now who's trying to be president. But, you know, I think Flo could be a really interesting dynamic change.
So if you could take a historical figure and make him an incredible marketer, who would it be? Between Cleopatra, Benjamin Franklin, William Shakespeare, because brevity is the soul of wit, and also Twitter. Leo da Vinci, which would be Mona Lisa with a Snapchat filter. Our Julius Caesar, came, saw, and conquered
the
trending page.
It would be like a da Vinci. I think that his the eye, the creativity,
right?
That with a little combination of, I think, a Shakespeare who's a storyteller, right? That's what we're trying to do at the end of the day. everything that we're trying to do right now is about telling the best story. And I think you put those two in a room, we could have a hell of a campaign.
I'm trying to find where I put my last question. It's actually... So before we go, Sean, if you could give us your origin story, something like bit by a radioactive spider, radioactive sludge. It's always radioactive. You notice that. What would be your origin story that you'd want people to remember?
Boy, well, maybe it's this idea of creative thinking. Honestly, I really believe that it's funny. Let's take them with Pisces and probably fit to that perfectly. It's the creative part of what we've done. Media planning to me was always lines and Excel spreadsheets, but the creativity.
Right. Do you miss that? You think the industry has forgotten creativity?
1,000%.
And we have to get, are we going to get back to it though?
No, I think we're going to have a very hard time trying to get back into that because again, back then we were building and creating any opportunity we could. We would sit with publishers and say, what if we turn this page upside down? What if I, take a vacuum and suck all, the letters on a page? Or, what if we did this type of integration into a game? It's that unfortunately is the part that's missing for the kids who are coming up in the industry. Because right. They, right now, all they know is spots and dots.
All they know is data. Everything's data now.
Yeah, there's no creativity in how you think about the integration with publishers and our brand equity that they can do. And I look back to this thing with Subway, with Hulu years ago, around a show called My Side of the Sky. And it was 5 episodes, and it was so integrated. And it was like our way of figuring out, it was kids who were in a high school out in Colorado who were being trained to be the next, Sean Wyatt. Things like that. And we had the opportunity to integrate Subway into the program where kids are going from one place to another, might stop at Subway to eat and things like that. I feel like we lost a lot of that creativity because the kids don't have the context anymore. It's I sit hands on keyboards and I meet a KPI or, I build a plan and I just grab ideas from publishers and go, I just wish there was something to really get people into thinking awesome stuff again. And I think the closest that we're getting to that right now is interactive television. That's probably as close as we're getting to being creative again.
And just like that, we pixelated through another electrifying episode. Massive thanks to Sean Black for surfing the digital waves with us today and giving us the lowdown on everything from AI juggernauts to inbox zero ambitions. Hats off, Sean, for keeping it real and steering clear of the corporate jargon. Big shout out to our sponsors, Troutman Amine, for keeping the lights on and the servers humming. Without your support, we'd just be another tab lost in a sea of browser windows. Keep hacking away at the mysteries of the marketing matrix and tune in next time for another round of irreverent insights. As we log off, remember our motto. Stay curious, stay bold, and know more than you did yesterday.